God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Life is sacred, sacred because it comes from God. Thank you for being with us. This is Pastor Larry at Southwest Radio Church. One of the most perplexing questions for secular scientists to attempt to answer is, what is the origin of life? How does one explain the origin of life if God has been removed from the equation and all that's left are natural processes? Evolutionists often appeal to the Miller experiment, but that didn't even come close to making life. The Miller experiment was tried in hopes of going against the laws of science. There is a law called the law of biogenesis. If something has been deemed a scientific law, that means nothing has ever been observed to the contrary. And the law of biogenesis states that life only comes from life. That's all that has ever been observed. No one has ever seen a rock giving birth to anything. There's another problem for the evolutionists. Life is full of unfathomable amounts of information called DNA. The second law of information declares that information always originates from a mind. Once the information has been obtained, it is possible to make copies of it, but the source of the initial information is always a mind. There could be no information originating in a mindless universe. The Bible talks about private property, yet Marx wrote, "The theory of the communists may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property." What does that mean for America? What does it mean for you and for me? We're going to continue our discussion with our friend Bill Federer. We're offering his new book, right off the press, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Bill, thank you so much for being on the show once again. This is number three. This is fascinating material.
Thank you, Larry. Great to be with you.
Well, let's talk about what I think we're seeing today, deconstruction. You know, we like construction, but I think we're seeing a lot of deconstruction. How does that work, and where do we see it?
Right. It's a tactic where you separate a people from their past, get them into a neutral where they do not remember where they came from, and then you brainwash them into the future you have planned for them. It's a drive neutral reverse. It's a sales technique. If I was a toothpaste salesman, the first thing I do is say negative things about the toothpaste you are currently using. You're still using that old stuff. Don't you know it'll eat the enamel off your teeth? You're like, ooh, really? Now I have you in a neutral. You're open-minded. What are all the toothpastes out there? Then I give you my pitch for this brand new tartar-controlled breast freshener stuff. So that's what they do. They go into the classrooms and they tell the kids negative things about the founding fathers. They took land from Indians, sold people into slavery. Howard Zinn's People's Republic of the United States, which just says, oh, all the founders were evil. And so the kids are repulsed by them. Now you got the kids into a neutral. They're open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there nowadays? Then you give the kids a pitch for socialism or LGBT or Islam. Europe went through this. It went from a Judeo-Christian Europe with Catholic cathedrals, Protestant Reformation, and Jewish neighborhoods to a secular Europe with Robespierre putting a prostitute in Notre Dame Cathedral and free sex, anything goes. And now it's turning into a socialist Islamic Europe with Muhammad being the number one name for newborns and the government deciding what career path you can even go into. Now, Muslims do this. When Sharia Muslims come into a country, they destroy a history. The libraries, the artwork, the museums, the graves. I just read where Erdogan turned the Hagia Sophia, the largest Christian church in Europe for 1,000 years, turned it back into a mosque. And it's this idea that you want to erase the identity. When the fundamentalist Muslims went into India, they would destroy their Hindu temples. And this also happened in China. So there was the Warring States period, you know, about the 4th century B.C., and then you have one king eventually conquers, and his name is Qin Shi Huangdi. And he unites these kingdoms, and he is criticized for doing things differently than they had been done before. And he got tired of being criticized by the way they had been done before, so he decided to destroy before. And he made it a crime punishable by death if anybody was caught with the classics of history. And if you had a copy, you were supposed to bring them out and have it burned. And if you didn't, you'd be tattooed and sent to build the Great Wall of China and your family would all be killed. And if it wasn't for the classics of history, having been buried in the tomb of a previous emperor, we wouldn't have them today. But this inspired Mao Zedong in the 1950s. He wanted the communists to take over, but in order to do that, he had to have a cultural revolution. In other words, he wanted to destroy Chinese culture, you know, artwork and museums and libraries. And why? Because he wanted to bring them into a brand new People's Republic of China. And Pol Pot did the same thing in Cambodia. He made 1975 the new year zero and said everything prior to that was irrelevant. And he killed anyone who wore glasses. He figured if you wore glasses, you could read. If you read, you knew the history, and he wanted to get rid of the history. He killed 2 million people, a third of his own country. So this concept of deconstruction is you want to just pull down the statues, dig up the graves, destroy the churches. This happened in France during the French Revolution, where they did, you know, they tore down the statues of good King Henry IV, and they dug up the grave of St. Genevieve, the young woman that got all of Paris to fast and pray when Attila the Hun was sweeping Europe. Matter of fact, in France, they didn't want done in the year of the Lord, so they made 1792 the new year one. But it was an intentional effort to de-Christianize France, but they want to get rid of the past, get the people into it, sort of like a gene therapy, only for a culture. Take out the old DNA and put in the new. Take out the old identity and put in the new. And it's a strategy that's tried and true, and it's being carried out right now in front of our eyes.
Right. It's manipulation, and there's so much of it going on. Well, how about someone like Eugene Debs and the Pullman Railroad riots and all of that? I know that was pretty important as we come into modern times.
Right. So you have Karl Marx. He's in the middle of the 1800s. And one of the people that liked his teachings was Eugene Debs. And what did he do? He came into America and he found groups of people with grievances. And he began to organize them. They were railroad car workers at the Pullman Railroad factory outside of Chicago. Things are going really good. It's got this nice little village for all the workers that the Pullman, George Pullman, built. He had the grocery stores where the people could get their groceries nearby. They didn't even have to go worry about bank. They could just, you know, pay their rent and company script. And it was a nice little perfect society. But then orders for railroad cars dropped off. And the people didn't get paid, and the Eugene Debs comes over and finds these people with grievances and organizes them to riot. And they destroy $80 million worth of railroad cars in 27 states. Finally, Grover Cleveland had to send in the U.S. Army to bring order to it. And then afterwards, Eugene Debs starts the Socialist Party of the United States. And he runs for president five times between 1900 and 1920. Branching off of the Socialist Party of the United States was the Communist Party USA. And it ran candidates for president every year from 1920 to 1940. Until Franklin Roosevelt, during World War II, made a treaty with Stalin and the USSR. So the Communist Party USA said, why should we run a different candidate? From now on, we'll just support Democrats. So from 1940 on, the Communist Party USA has been infiltrating and been supporting Democrat candidates. Now, one of the tactics that is very effective is group manipulation. Sometimes they call them psyops or psychological operations. But you go back in history, Plato talked about this in Athens with theater. So in Athens, it was a democracy. Everybody voted. But if you have an agenda, how do you pitch your agenda to the whole city? You get them together in a big outdoor theater and you put on plays where you have comedies, tragedies, satires, and you ridicule and buffoon certain politicians and points of view, and you honor and extol other politicians and other points of view. And so from that time till now, theater is always political. And this concept of how to mold group consensus was studied by Goebbels. Joseph Goebbels was the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler. And he realized that people have a deep desire to want to be accepted by a group. And so he would orchestrate these big Colosseum events with 100,000 people in it, and pageantry, and he would have them start to give the Hitler salute at the front, and it would work its way back, and everybody would feel pressured to give the Hitler salute. And this concept was studied after World War II in America by psychologist Solomon Asch, A-S-C-H. It's called the Solomon Asch Conformity Experiment. And they pulled 8 students at a college campus into a classroom. And they would do this experiment over and over again. And 7 of them had been paid ahead of time to be actors. And 1 was a naive participant. So these 8 students are in a room, and the teacher puts on the front desk 2 cards. 1 card simply has 1 line on it. The other card has 3 lines. 1 is the same size, 1 is shorter, 1 is longer. And they would start with the paid actors. And 1 by 1, they would go around the room saying that the shorter line was equal to the longer line on the first card. They would say, well, it's your perspective, it's ratios, this, that, whatever. They would just make up stuff, but they would say it really convincingly. When it got around to the 8th naive participant, 30% of the naive participants would change their views, deny their own eyes, and go along with the group. They so much wanted to be accepted by this group that they would deny common sense. And so this has worked its way into all of education. So the teachers do this education by consensus, and they're like, okay, who believes it's normal to have a mommy and a daddy? And little Johnny raises his hand, and the teacher says, you're a terrible kid, you're an awful kid, and berates on him. And then the teacher says, does anybody else believe what this little boy does? And everybody backs away, and you get to push your agenda. And now it's worked its way online. So everyone likes to be liked, and no one likes to be unfriended. And kids will commit suicide if they're cyberbullied. Now, why is this important? Elections. You have elections where there's committed Democrats, committed Republicans, and undecided. And the undecided go to the Google search, the number one search engine in the world, and they put in a candidate's name. And the algorithms pull up all the positive articles on one candidate, all the negative articles on another candidate. Why does that matter? Because the person doing the search wants to fit in with what everyone else is saying. And so, since many elections are won by small margins, if they can sway a small percentage of the vote, they can win the election. And so now it's gotten into this, everyone wants to fit in, and they're beating a narrative saying, okay, you have to take a knee. You have to chant this mantra. The early Christians would only bow their knee to God, and they would go to their death before they would bow the knee to somebody other than Jesus. And yet here we're saying, bow your knee. And kneeling is the universal sign of worship, right? Remember Tim Tebow would kneel. The other side knew exactly that he was praying, and they hated that, so they made him stop. But now they're kneeling to this other anthem. They know it's worship. It is worshiping another faith. Anyway, but it's all group. It's this, and now Jesus calls us out of the group. He says, you have to love me more than your mother, sister, brother. You have to be willing to stop being a fear of man and only fear God. Get your eyes off what everybody else is saying, and all you care about is what God says. And the word ekklesia means a calling out of. God wants to call us out from being manipulated by group pressure. And there's even another study done. And by the way, all these stories are in the book Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. And it was called it was a wine tasting test, right? So you got a room full of couples, and they had the wine. They poured vinegar in some of the wine. And so they would go around and mark off on the card. Everybody was in on this except one naive couple. And when they go around the room, they would stand up and say, well, the vinegar, ugly tasting wine had character. And the sweet, nice wine, they said, yeah, that tasted cheap. And by the time it got around to this naive couple, they changed and scratched out what they wrote to go along with the group. And then they finally had somebody stand up and say, you know what? All they did was pour vinegar into this wine. And the couple that had changed their views, they criticized the person that said that they poured vinegar in there. And it's a phenomenon called false enforcement. Once somebody surrenders their views to the group, they will participate in enforcing this new rule. So if they say, okay, everybody has to wear the mask, they'll get enforced. I can pull up my camera and record you. You're not wearing your mask, right? I'm convinced if someday they come up, we got to get rid of the color yellow. that causes psychological harm. And then they'll pull out their cameras. This person's got yellow on, you know. And it's this abandoning of your private views, surrendering to this group. And then it's going to take you step by step by step away from God. And ultimately, you know, the book of Revelation says that everybody will just submit, unless those that are have faith in the Lord Jesus. So,
wow, this is very, very dangerous, because when I think of all of the boys and girls, high school students going to public school, you know, they may go to church, they may spend 1 or 2 hours in church and Sunday school, but I don't know, 30, 40 hours a week in the public school, and they're being brainwashed. And some of the new curricula coming out in California is just demonic. And these poor kids are being just inundated. And how foolish, how dangerous that parents are allowing this to happen. Well, Bill, we are out of time, but you've done a tremendous service to the Christian community and to all thinking individuals in exposing the dangers of socialism. We really appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Larry. Anytime.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners about our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. We have a great offer for our listeners today. First of all, we have the new book titled Socialism, The Real History. You can have a copy for a gift of $25 if you live in the United States and $45 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you would rather write and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order this book and all of our products and materials on our website at swrc.com. We also have the book Quick Answers to Social Issues. You can have a copy for a gift of $15. And we have the DVD that goes with that, titled Quick Answers to Tough Questions. Yours for a gift of $10. Our very special offer is to get all three items I mentioned: the new book titled Socialism, The Real History, the book Quick Answers to Social Issues, and the DVD titled Quick Answers to Tough Questions, for a gift of $35. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address to write is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
If you were having a problem with snakes in your home, would you release more snakes to take care of the problem? Racism is a problem today, but a new racism is emerging. Fighting racism with more racism. The phrase Black Lives Matter is another form of racism. Saying all lives matter could get you shot. Supposedly, you are a white supremacist.
Originally, a person who believed that white people are better than other skin colors was called a white supremacist. But now, a white supremacist is much broader. If you are an evangelical Christian, you are a white supremacist. If you challenge the BLM movement, you are a white supremacist. If you are a Trump supporter, you are a white supremacist. According to the neo-racist, America is a nation of oppressors. If you even dare to state that you like President Trump's Mount Rushmore speech, you are definitely labeled a white supremacist.
Yet President Trump said, quote, "We believe in equal opportunity, equal justice, and equal treatment for citizens of every race, background, religion, and creed. Every child of every color, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God." Close quote. President Trump was very clear. He said, quote, "Our opponents would tear apart the very documents that Martin Luther King Jr. used to express his dream, and the ideas that were the foundation of the righteous movement for civil rights," close quote. Dr. King looked for the day when skin color was not an issue. Yet the BLM movement has repudiated that. None of that matters to the BLM movement. President Trump said those words at the foot of a white supremacist mountain, Mount Rushmore. Anyone who listens to him is a white supremacist. That's what they want you to believe.
It's clear that the phrase white supremacist is being used in such a broad way that it is meaningless. Anyone who is conservative, an evangelical, a Trump supporter, is a white supremacist. Racism is a sin in God's eyes. Unfortunately, it has been politicized by those who are establishing a new racism for the sake of a progressive agenda.
We have all watched the unfolding saga of Seattle, with socialist communist radicals establishing a would-be nation within a city. Police there are an endangered species, and now one of the city council members is coming out of the insurrectionist closet. According to a July 10th report from the website Gateway Pundit, communist Seattle City Council member Kashama Sawant gave a victory speech Tuesday night after a passage by the city council of the so-called Amazon tax, in which she vowed to overthrow the United States, replacing the government and society with a socialist world. Sawant is 46 and immigrated from India as an adult with a 1994 BS in computer science from the University of Mumbai. Sawant earned a PhD in economics from North Carolina State University and became a citizen of the U.S. in 2010. She served in the Seattle City Council since 2014. Let's hear her own words from the close of her speech. Quote, "We are coming to dismantle this deeply oppressive, racist, sexist, violent, utterly bankrupt system of capitalism, this police state. We cannot and will not stop until we overthrow it and replace it with a world based instead on solidarity, genuine democracy, and equality, a socialist world." Earlier, she said, "I have a message for Jeff Bezos and his class." He's the owner of Amazon. "We are preparing the ground for a different kind of society. And if you, Jeff Bezos, want to drive that process forward by lashing out against us in our modest demands, then so be it. Because we are coming for you and your rotten system." End of quote. She's pressing for a massive tax against Amazon, supposedly to expand affordable housing. Here are a few more quotes from her speech. See if you catch the flavor. "Today's vote to pass the Amazon tax in Seattle is a historic victory for working people. By a movement that wouldn't give up, we are winning because of the determination of workers and socialists led by my organization, Socialist Alternative, and progressive organizations and unions. The Amazon tax is perhaps the biggest progressive win in Seattle since socialists and labor unions led the way on the $15 minimum wage, which passed first here and then was won in cities and states around the country. We must build on our momentum. The movement to tax Amazon and big business to fund housing and essential services is needed everywhere, and we must actively spread it. Here in Seattle, we will need to immediately take this energy toward winning the release of all arrested protesters without charges and to defund Seattle police by at least 50%. We know that our power comes from working people getting organized, not from any negotiation with the elite, because class struggle is what gets the goods. Internationally, the working class needs to take the top 500 corporations into democratic public ownership run by workers in the interests of human need and the environment, not billionaire greed. We are fighting for far more than this tax. We are preparing the ground for a different kind of society." End of quote. Any student of history knows where socialism has taken the people oppressed by it in the past. Freedom will not be part of the result that Sawant is seeking. Romans 6:18 tells us where we can find true freedom. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." The website, thebeardedprophet.com, July 14, 2020, gives a report from the People's Republic of New York City. More than 24 shootings across New York City over the weekend left a one-year-old dead and at least 34 others injured, some potentially fatally, dwarfing the number of people killed there by the coronavirus during the same period. The New York Post reported that Saturday saw a significant increase in shootings, noting New York City's plague of gun crime continued this weekend with 15 people shot in the same number of hours since midday, more in one day than the whole of the same week last year, sources said. They capped 43 shootings so far this week. In sheer numbers, 35 people shot, only one fatally, between Friday and Sunday were three times higher than the 11, five confirmed and six probable, who died from COVID-19. The number of shootings last weekend increased more than fourfold from the same period in 2019. It comes amid calls to defund the police, primarily voiced by Black Lives Matter supporters and their Democrat allies. Some of those calls have resonated among the city's Democrat leaders and leftist supporters, including Mayor de Blasio. Other Democrat-run cities like Chicago are experiencing a spike in violence amid anti-police demonstrations and calls to defund law enforcement. It proves that there is nothing common about common sense. Allow an angry mob to take control of a city and take control of the thinking of a nation, and the results will not be acceptable. History has shown us what happens when full-blown socialism takes over a nation. Think of Russia, Cuba, Romania, Venezuela. Think of nations under the hammer of communism. Think of what America will be in another year or two at the rate we're descending into the abyss. Socialism cannot exist in a godly nation. If Psalm 33:12a is true, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, so is the obverse side of the coin. Cursed is the nation that rejects the Lord. If you aren't forced to your knees to pray, you aren't paying attention.
What a great finish to a great week of programs. If you would like to order our special offer, just call us at 1-800-652-1144. If you have a prayer request or a Bible question and you prefer to write, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And visit us online at swrc.com.
If you haven't already, you should have a look at our Southwest Radio Church Facebook page. If you like it, let us know by hitting the like button.
Thank you for listening today. Join us again tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Richard Cutting about what's wrong with our rights here on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.